Oh, I really like this apple. Oh, wow. Oh, I just, Oh, I'm sorry. I was really enjoying this apple. So good. You know, when it comes to emotion and motivation, it's kind of like eating an apple. You see, when I'm eating an apple, I begin to, and as I bite into it, I begin to feel emotions of satisfaction, of arousal, of just pleasure, and also the fact that I was hungry. And physically, I feel better. And I'm ready to just carry on with my day. But also, when it comes to eating this apple and so on, what's my motivation? Well, first of all, I like apples. That's one motivation. What drives me is to eat healthy. And another motivation is that I try not to eat too much. Sometimes I'll eat a little more than I should. But back over 10 years ago, I realized if I didn't do something, I was going to be overweight for quite a while. And so I then took time to run now 5 times a week, sometimes 6 times a week, once every day. Maybe you run 7 times a day, or maybe you're hearing this and saying, I'm lucky if I get out once every week to run or exercise. But I was driven by the fact that I needed to be well. And I needed to eat the right things, eat less pizza, and keep going. Emotion. Motivation. Sometimes when you come to the end of the apple, then you're asking, well, what's next? Let's take a look. Emotion and motivation. Arousal and all these other rich psychological terms to help us better understand the human experience that God has given you and me. Fascinating. Well, first of all, let's look at this. What is this whole thing of emotion? Emotion. Emotion and motivation. You can see these great visuals of expression and surprise, anger, other emotions of surprise as well, other forms of surprise, but or disdain. You see that that other mask there, or sadness, or happiness, expressed with a chuckle. Emotion has many other expressions. And you can see in these, it's a mental and physiological feeling state that directs our attention and guides our behavior. And you can see surprise here in these pictures. You see also excitement. You also see the whole thing of frustration. Someone's about to burst with a whole range of emotion. And there's happiness, there's joy, there's the whole thing of trying to get somebody's attention because you are excited, and so on. All the way to someone baring his teeth. I see that there. He's saying, you know, just stay away from me. And try to cause fear. And the guy in the middle there, well, he's saying, it's time to smile. There's empathy, compassion, perhaps. All kinds of different emotions. Which emotion then can you relate with right now? in these pictures? Well, we go from emotion then to motivation. Motivation is the process that initiates, guides, and maintains goal-oriented behaviors. It is what causes you to act, whether it is getting a glass of water to reduce thirst or reading a book to gain knowledge. And as you can see here, to the left of the definition, motivation is where you have attitude, support. Do I want to support someone? Give the hand up. The attitude, I could be a good attitude, a bad attitude, and many other examples that flow out of motivation. Well, for motivation, we also look at drive. What is driving me? Like I said earlier, there's that apple, this apple that I just, I was motivated to eat this. And I explained why. And we have a drive that moves us and a goal that we want to achieve. But what are they? We say those words often. But what do they mean? Let's take a look. So drive and goal. Drive refers to the internal states that are activated when the physiological characteristics of the body are out of balance. We're trying to gain balance, in other words. So I saw a problem with my weight when I was about 38, 39 years old. Now I'm 51 years old. And I feel what drove me was to gain balance. And I went to running 5 times a week. I ate less. I was driven to lose the weight, especially because my doctor said I had to. And it came to a point where I did. Lost 25, 30 pounds. I average about 175 now, right where I need to be. And so God gave me the solution. You know, the Holy Spirit brought me to the solution. I was driven. That's a God-given component of your person. And then is the goal. Or, in other words, the result. See, the goal is the desired end states. And see, plural, because we have many goals. End states that we strive to attain. And striving, it meant in a healthy manner, as opposed to, well, I got to perform in order to gain God's acceptance, or perform to always please people all the time, which also is very unhealthy. As the Ragamuffin Gospel writer said, Brendan Manning, he said, I came to the realization here, there, and in the late 70s that, oh, God actually likes me. I don't have to strive to and perform to gain God's acceptance. He already has. He kind of likes me. And he does. And there's a drive and a goal then to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding that we now have with psychology. So from there, with drive and goal, we then get into goal and drive in terms of the theory. Now, this is the four drive theory to better break it down. First, we look at drive to acquire, drive to bond, drive to learn, and a drive to defend. Drive to acquire is a drive to take deep or take and keep objects and experiences. And then the basis of hierarchy and status. You can see latent learning as a learning application here. Drive to bond. Drive to form relationships and social commitments. Basis of social identity as a result. Drive to learn. Drive to satisfy curiosity and resolve conflicting information. Finally, the drive to defend. The need to protect ourselves. Reactive, not proactive drive, really. And the basis of fight or flight. You probably heard of that as far as fight and flight. We're going to get into temperament in the following videos as well. And it's where we then look at how we then have the fight or flight. We have what makes we also understand what makes us depressed by nature, and also what our strengths and weaknesses are. Very important in the realm of psychology, because We have God-given strengths, and conversely, we have weaknesses, not God-given necessarily, but just they're just there. We're not complete, but we have strengths that God will complete given our broken world. Hence, we then have the four drive theory to understand better what then drives us, different contexts, and also points of reference. So then from the four drive theory, we then get into the goal theory. We look at learning here again. What drives us to learn and also bring us to a goal, therefore? Well, the learner's behavior is directed towards outcomes. Outcomes. And as we go to outcomes, these are goals. Now, two things happen when it comes to going towards those outcomes or goals. So just like the goalie that we saw in two slides ago. And, of course, what drives us, like the race car driver. We look at mastering goals or outcomes will reflect a desire to gain knowledge and skills. And then performance goals to reflect a desire to look competent in others' eyes. So first, we want to master the outcome. We have, and again, it goes back to really what latent theory or latent learning then does, where we learn by experience, and of course, the steps we do along the way to get to these outcomes, but then what we learn, we then file away and then we bring it back. We have mastery over these things. And then the theory goes on to talk about performing. Performing, showing our mastery of the outcomes, to look competent, to be known that we have expertise and that we can handle the job. Whatever that may be, personal or professional. So then from drive, goals, we then look at arousal. Arousal, and I'm not just talking about sexual arousal. I think we understand what that is, but we also look at all forms of arousal. All forms of arousal goes to this definition. It starts with this. It is the state of being activated, either physiologically or psychologically. We're looking at the psychological aspect of arousal, although when it comes to physiological, it comes to the body being aroused and in many different ways. Arousal could refer to anger or, of course, aroused because of sadness or because of sexual attraction or because of the fight or flight, fear. Again, there's also psychological components to consider. And it's one dimension of our affective response to emotional stimuli. Now, from arousal, we then go to the understanding of affect and effect. Why? Because with arousal, it then causes us to then look at what is driving us and vice versa. What drives us, when we get into a state of drive, it has to do with the fact that we have been aroused. You can remember in Scripture, God's anger was aroused. It is a God-given characteristic in our being. Image of God, we are the image bearers. We then reflect back to God, and God back to, that back and forth. We have this thing called arousal, which then connects to the drive. It's kind of like plugging it in. And when it plugs in, look out. Because this is what happens. Affect and effect. From the light bulb that turns on, boom, to then the affect and effect. The affect is the cause. The effect is the result. So let's look at this. We look at affect and effect. Affect means to influence or to produce a change in something. An example would be the affected skin turns red and may blister. Hence the domino effect. The effect is a noun, and it means the result of a change. So if an event affects your life, you will feel the event's effect. My father's death had a profound effect on us all. And I can relate to this example in terms of, well, my father-in-law, my wife's father, when this is the 6-year anniversary of his death this past week, and I still remember walking into that nursing home room. He was only 67 years old. And because of a genetic disorder and the complications because of the genetic disorder, with his health and things declining, and his body just couldn't handle it anymore. And to see him gone on his deathbed, literally, where he just could not move. Very different than what you see in a casket at a viewing, a visitation. This is fresh. And standing there with my wife, the shock and awe, the grief. There's a great father-in-law. Empathy, compassionate, giving, supportive, loving. And when all those things came out in the eulogy, it was an, oh, this affect produces the effect of tears. Tears to compassion and empathy with my fellow mourners. Or perhaps the effect from the affect may be that you are at the best time of your life. You're saying, I do. Of course, for some people, that they look back and say, was that the best? I don't know. Pray for them. But for all of us, including myself, I look back at the day I said, I do. It was the best, one of the best days of my life. As I look back almost 31 years ago. And I say, thank you, God, because at that moment that my wife walked down the aisle, the affect was, this is real. And yes, I did not have the help me words on my shoes. So when we kneeled, and I'm Protestant, but so we just kneeled because of prayer. That's our choice. Well, anyway, I didn't have the help me words on the bottom of my shoes to gain a reaction. No. I said, I do, because I wanted to. I had happy tears that day. The affect was that I was about to engage in and connect with my best friend, my wife, through everything, with God's help and God bringing us together for His purposes, His will, His family. And to go forward in faith, which is the effect, happiness, commitment, excitement, all those emotions that we saw earlier. And there's been sadness, loss, as I reflected a few minutes ago. But also hope. And our hope for you today is that now you understand emotion, motivation, drive, goals, and also the drive theory, the affect and the effect, as we are aroused by the stimuli around us, but then honor God with our minds and our bodies and our communities. Keep moving forward. And we'll see you next video.